Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, April 14th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, let's get started right away. There's lots of things to talk about today, and gold down $5.50 at $1,193.50. Silver's down 8 cents. $16.27. Platinum was up a dollar at $11.56. Palladium's down 7 at $766. The USDX today is trading lower 0.72 at 98.79, with crude oil trading higher 1.23 at 53.14. And the paper markets today, you had the Dow up 60 points at 18,037. The NASDAQ was down 10 at 49.77, with the S&P up 3 at 2,095. 10-year yield, 1.90%. The euro is 106. That's up 0.76. So that had a little bit of turnaround, but to be expected with the drop in the USDX. And that wraps it up, Al.
All right. So what's next, Melody?
Well, we had retail sales today jumped 0.9% last month after declining 0.5% in February. That was reported today by the Commerce Department. And they are saying because the shoppers are returning.
The shoppers are coming.
Yeah. Huh? Due to warmer weather. Woo-hoo. But there was an increase in 2.7% increase in auto sales and 2.1% boost in building materials. Let's see. Excluding the volatile categories of autos, gas, building materials, and restaurant, sales rose 0.3%. And, you know, they think the economy is doing great. And then this big retail sales jumped this whole almost percent last month due to the lower unemployment. And people are saving on their gasoline enough to go out and buy all kinds of things. So that's what they tell us.
That's the theory.
That's the theory. That's what they tell us.
But in fact, we've got another little article down here. Let's see if I can find it.
Depends on what bill you're taking.
Might be time. No, that's not it. Well, let me see if I can just paraphrase. They're saying the big problem. Oh, I think it's this one right here. Weird discrepancy in the U.S. economy has begun to work itself out. Weirdly, the pace of job growth has been resilient. Things have been picking up. Things seem to be growing better. But why is the economy slowing? This is an article from Business Insider. It's entitled, A Weird Discrepancy in the U.S. Economy Has Begun to Work Itself Out in a Bad Way. What's the weird discrepancy? Go through, why is the economy slowing? And the answer, among other things, U.S. consumers have been increasingly saving their money rather than spending. All right? Even though much of the gasoline savings, which economists expected to be a big spending stimulus, do not seem to be flowing back into the economy. All right? So, you know, we talked about this earlier today, the idea that rich people don't spend their money. And the idea we had the trickle-down economics. It is a hallmark. If you're going to be rich, you have to be parsimonious. We see some people that are lavish in the way they spend their money, and they live a lavish lifestyle and the rest of it. I get that. I know. But the majority of people who are wealthy are also comparatively frugal. Now, they may live a much more, you know, a much higher standard of living than most Americans. There's no doubt about that. But they're not out trying to spend every dime. Look, I got another $100. Let's go spend it. That's not the rich man's mentality. And to say they even save money, that's not the rich man's mentality. They invest money. They use money, whatever comes in the door, to try to make more money. Right? And you can characterize that as greed or ambition or who knows. But it is a hallmark. If you want to be rich, in my opinion, you're going to be frugal, you're going to be parsimonious, and you're not going to waste your money. You go down to the next class, you have people who are saving their money. All right? That's not as good as investing, because your savings don't really amount to much in the banks. There's not much of a gain there. The investment is where you make a gain on your money, where the savings, you don't waste it, but you're not making a gain. But the poor people in particular, as you get to the bottom, they don't save anything. They don't invest anything. They got $50, $1,000, $1,000,000, they're going to spend it. And you see this sort of thing with athletes. Right? They make huge amounts of money, and many of them are broke shortly after they finish their athletic career. They may, you know, your talent may entitle you to make a spectacular amount of money, but you're not likely to be a rich man or woman unless your talent is backed up by a great deal of discipline. And the knowledge that you don't just spend every dime comes in the door. You've got to invest. You've got to put it someplace that's going to generate a profit, an advantage. And under those circumstances, if you're not rich, you can become rich. But if you think you can spend it all, not so. Well, they're complaining here that, surprise, surprise, people have been increasingly saving their money. And that's a big improvement. That's the sort of thing the middle class does. They save their money. The wealthy class invest their money. The middle class save their money. The poor spend it as fast as it comes in the door. If you want to be middle class, save your money. If you want to be rich, invest your money. So, where do you think you should invest your money, Melody?
Well, there's a difference between investing and protecting, and I believe gold and silver is certainly a good way to preserve your purchasing power as you're using the other half of your funds increasing. So, but people don't do it that way. You know, people listen, and people prefer to, you know, pile all in something. And certainly we've seen the stock markets go to hit all these highs, but to talk to anyone about pulling funds out and protecting what they have, you think you're green with 4 years, and people don't listen. They don't want to hear you. I pulled up the numbers. I don't know if I have them here real quick on the U.S. Mint on what they produced for the month, for this month so far. And it's been a week since I looked, and I was shocked at the numbers. And yes, this is a tax.
And this is the number of sales of gold eagles and or silver eagles.
And I'm just going to look. I'm just going to for silver. Well, they just moved the number up. Well, they just changed it since I looked prior to the program. Isn't that strange? We're looking at 1.4 million for
sold
April
so far this month.
Yes, and they had just
changed.
We're
only halfway through the month.
Yeah, and they just showed prior to the program it was over 600,000, and I thought, wow. And the gold eagles prior to the program they were showing, I don't know, they were showing like 5,000. And they doubled that number to 10,000. So, but still, compared to the earlier months of this year, the first quarter of this year, they're significantly lower.
Yeah.
And I get that this is tax time, but these prices are incredibly low. Yeah. Stock market prices are incredibly high. And you'd think they'd be taking advantage of the two extremes.
Well, a lot of people don't regard gold as an investment. You talk about preserving your money. From their perspective, it's a little bit like just saving your money in the bank. That's how a lot of people look at it. And I disagree with that. They have their opinion. I have mine. But I look at this in large measure because I agree with the work of the Gold Antitrust Action Committee and so on and their research and increasing public is to say, look, the markets have been suppressed. The prices of gold and silver, among other things, have been intentionally suppressed. I am convinced that the free market will reassert itself. And when it does, the price of gold is going to increase dramatically. And when that happens, people who've bought gold and silver are going to generate certainly a considerable profit and maybe a spectacular profit. We hear people talk about the possibility that gold can go to $50,000 an ounce. Some talk about $25,000 an ounce. Some talk about $10,000 an ounce. I'm going to say, look, I hope gold goes to $50,000 an ounce on one level. I mean, I'd like that just fine. Suit me a lot, but I'm not betting on it. All right. I'm not betting on $25,000 an ounce. $10,000 is not impossible, but I'm not betting on it. But I'm going to bet you that within the next 4 or 5 years, gold is going to go to $5,000 an ounce.
I agree.
Which means it's going to increase, its price is going to increase by 300% as compared to what it is right now. Now, for me, that's a spectacular investment. That's the sort of thing where we are talking about over a period of 5 years, a possible increase in terms of 50, 60, 80% on your original investment over the course of the next 5 years. For me, that's investment. All right, that's the sort of thing that, and $5,000 gold is not the least bit out of the question. If it goes higher, it goes higher. I'm not sure. I won't bring a tear to my eye.
We also have to realize when gold hits those levels, what are the paper markets doing? I mean, you're talking about a country that is truly, who knows what can be going on at gold 5,000. There will be riots in their streets. There will be civil unrest. There will be lots of things going on that you will appreciate the rise in gold, not only for the price, but also for the protection that it provides you.
That's exactly right.
So just because we have high gold prices, yeah, we can get all happy about it, but there is the other side, and there will be a lot of things going on. We probably will be in a World War III, when we get to the – definitely if you're thinking 10,000 gold, absolutely, and if anybody thinks 50,000, absolutely. I mean, there's going to be a lot of things going on when it gets to that – with those higher levels.
Oh, the whole world will be in chaos.
Well, the whole world will be in chaos.
Worth it would be a fraction of a penny compared to what it is today. You know, you see these sorts of things, and no one can tell you what's going to happen. The predictions are interesting, but they're like science fiction movies. Now, there's a lot of imagination that goes into a lot of predictions, and they are colorful and exciting and interesting, but in the end, there's who knows? That's what it comes down to.
What you're right. We're predicting, just like anyone else in this world who predicts in whatever they're involved in. But what I do know, that is a fact, that is the truth is this country has a fiat currency. And ever since we became a fiat currency, we know for a fact that the purchasing power of the United States dollar is going to decrease. You're going to lose your purchasing power yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That is a given. That's not going to change. That is one of the true fundamentals for owning gold and silver. It protects your purchasing power. It's the insurance policy. It's recognized as a world currency. That is true. It is a reality. And that's why you buy gold. These predictions of higher numbers, all things are relative. I do believe we will see definitely 2,500. I do believe we'll see 5,000 in gold. I believe we will see 50 again in silver, 75, maybe 100. I reserve my right to predict the prices as we go along and see how things are unfolding, because I believe all things are relative too. I believe that even if gold was at $750, all things are relative. Your purchasing power of the dollar, just like today, is stronger. We've had the pressure on gold. Yes, the prices are manipulated down. The dollar did get stronger. That is the true teeter-totter there, to where you have the weakening gold price and the strengthening of the dollar. You're going to see it reverse. And so those are the true fundamentals. All things are relative to one another. And for a long-term safe investment, there really isn't anything else. I mean, sure, you can, land is great, but you don't have the liquidity on land that you do with gold and silver. And I think gold and silver, some of them now in today's world, is truly misunderstood as to why you buy gold and silver.
I agree. There's great misunderstanding, ignorance, and there's temptation, and people want to speculate and make a fast buck and go into perhaps the stock markets or maybe bonds or whatever. But again, my fundamental for me, my lodestar, the North Pole for me, is the debt is too big to ever be repaid. I don't know when they're going to hit the moment when they have to admit that, but they're going to hit that moment. And when they do, the debt won't be repaid, or much of it won't be repaid. And I'm guesstimating it'll be 80, maybe 90% of existing debt will have to be repudiated. I could be wrong. Maybe only 50% of existing debt has to be repudiated. But when 50% is repudiated, it will mean it's not, you don't just wipe out the debt, you wipe out the correlative assets. You're going to wipe out the bonds that are, if I take a bond that was worth $100,000 and say, guess what? We've just wiped this out. If I knock out 50% of the bonds and we've got a $100,000 bond, say, gosh, we can't pay that debt. Somebody's holding a piece of paper that says, the government promises to pay $100,000, and all of a sudden, when they wipe out the debt, they wipe out his asset. His paper asset also disappears. From my perspective, when is it going to happen? Don't know. But when it does happen, those people who have invested their wealth in the form of paper are going to lose their assets, or a big chunk of them. And those who invested their wealth in something tangible, they're going to be in a position that is, their wealth should be largely preserved. Now, there's, God only knows what's going to happen. If you got in land, you got in farmland, got in a house, got your investment in an apartment building, a factory, there are all sorts of variables. But one of them that seems most likely to do well under virtually any circumstance, gold. There'll be ups, there'll be downs, but long term, gold's hard to beat, and that's been true for how many years now, Melody? 5,000?
5,000.
It's not going to end anytime soon. Let's take, we got a minute until we take our next break. Got a clock here that I can't
yesterday.
Read. We're going to have to get Braille, get a clock with Braille on it so I can follow.
We don't want to go too long into this, but it's funny, the headline for Hillary Clinton, reporters are outnumbering the voters. There's media chasing her Scooby van, and the number one Google search is, how old is Hillary Clinton?
Uh-huh.
And she certainly is going to be, I think she has, how many billions of dollars that's planning. Clinton is going to spend $37.92 for every vote in a $2.5 billion campaign.
$2.5 billion?
That's what it says.
What does that work out to per person, per voter?
$37.92.
I'm trying to think, maybe I could send in and promise to vote for her if she just send me a check.
For $37.92?
Yeah, $35. Give her a break. Mm-hmm. Keep the other $2 and change as a political campaign contribution.
$2.5 billion campaign? Really? Amazing.
Pretty amazing. Let's take a break for some more commercials. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Folks, Alfred Addis, Melody Cederstrom, Financial Survival, Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Presenting a package, $650, 90% silver, $20 face value, along with a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle coin. And it also includes the book, All the President's Bankers, and it's written by Nomi Prinz. It explores the relationship of past presidents to key bankers for a century. And an interesting read, brings a connection. It's a great kind of a book to give to your friends and family to see if they can or want to begin to connect the dots, but give us a call. I mean, there's a lot of books that you can get. This is just the one that we're offering now, All the President's Bankers, along with the package for $650, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And for those of you who go shopping online for your gold and silver, at least give me the opportunity to match prices. Many times my price is lower than what you find online, but many folks out there being inexperienced and looking at the product and how to price things, you're often wrong on what these companies provide as far as prices and the pricing. They, if you're going to comparison shop, make sure you're doing apples to apples. Make sure you're comparing the proper product, the same quality of the product. And sometimes if there is a savings from someplace else and you figure out what it's going to cost you over a period of time, you'll find that the savings is really, nothing. I mean, a lot of people, $20 on a $5,000 trade, I kind of just scratch my head. And yes, it's $20. Don't get me wrong. It's 20 bucks. It's 20 bucks. But the overall picture of $5,000 versus $20, I mean, people waste $20 all day long. But yet when it comes to a purchase of gold and silver and you're buying something of substance, something that's real, and you allow 20 bucks to get in the way of purchasing from, I don't get it. But give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And now it's just the same thing we were talking about prior to the break, and then we'll move on. We want to talk about the Brits. Not only is the gold and silver market misunderstood, the pricing and the product is misunderstood. And I hear all kinds of reasons why various products is bought for this and that. And since 2008, you had so many new people come into the market, 2010, 2011, when things were really hot with the gold prices and silver prices, anybody could have come into the market and start selling gold and silver. And do well. Now that it's a little bit difficult, you're beginning to see all the, the difference of opinions on why things in the gold and silver market, how it varies.
Yeah, it's part of the problem. The dollar has gone up about 25% as measured on the U.S. dollar index in the last 12 months. At the same time, the price of gold has actually fallen by 11%. But the price of gold is measured in terms of dollars, which are worth 30% more now or 25% more now than they were a year ago. The point is, as confusing and hard to understand and follow, I get that. This is not easily, it's not easily understood, grasped. It's counterintuitive. Because the price of gold is measured today in a more valuable dollar than it was a year ago, the price of gold is actually up, mm-hmm. which sounds nuts. It's nominally the price is down by 11%, but it's measured in terms of dollars that are 30% more or 25% more valuable today than they were a year ago. Gold has actually been going up. It's just not apparent. We've actually had, in terms of when you calculate the purchasing power of the dollar and you factor that in, it turns out that gold has had to gain somewhere in the neighborhood of 12, 14% over the course of the last 12 months. Now, a lot of people listening, I say, oh, listen to that argument. What kind of a sales pitch is that? No, but it's the truth of the matter. All right? And it's sort of thing, you look at it, and because we have a fiat currency, that means we measure the price and therefore the value of all things with a fiat currency, a fiat dollar, whose value is elastic and it can be compressed and it can be less one day and more the next day. It injects a level of confusion and an opportunity for manipulation. And it's the sort of thing, it's like playing three-card Monte. Out on the streets of New York, somebody sets up a card table. He's got three cards and see if he can find the Red Queen. All right? It's tough enough to do when there's just three cards. We have an economy where, thanks to our fiat currency, it's like having four cards, which only complicates it. It makes it that much more difficult to spot the Red Queen. Move them around, shuffle them back and forth, and see if you can pick the Red Queen. It just makes it that much more difficult. But the fact that it's difficult does not eliminate the need to try to perceive where's the Red Queen. And so far as you're able to do that, you may have money saved up for your retirement. Insofar as you fail to spot the Red Queen, guess what? You're in trouble. This is, although it looks like a game, three-card Monte, it's not. It's going to determine where you're going to spend your retirement, or who knows, whether you're going to buy a new house or a new car or whatever. But it's not a game. This is serious business, and it's incumbent on all of us to try to understand it as best we can. So, confusing, yep, but for me, debt can't be paid. That means the paper instruments are going to turn out being substantially worthless over the course of the next several years. Gold's been here for 5,000 years. It'll be here 5 years from now. It'll probably be, and before we get to 5 years, we'll probably see $5,000 gold. We're going to see it sooner or later. How many people think the stock market, the Dow Jones, is going to increase by 300%? We're going to go from 18,000 to what would that translate into? 50,000 or something like that? 60,000 over the course of the next 5 years? You think that's going to happen? Anybody think that's going to happen? But it could happen, and almost certainly will happen with gold.
5 years, we're going to be sitting here. Did you ever think that Dow could be 50,000? Anyway, we got a question. And do you think stocks will fall after April 16th, the day after the tax deadline that was submitted by Donald? And
I don't know of any reason why they would, unless it turns out that nobody files their income tax tomorrow. Now, if nobody files, it turns out the post offices are completely empty. There are no lines. They're not collecting the income tax returns and baskets out from people in the street in front of the post office. None of that's taking place. Then maybe, no telling what's going to happen. But I have no reason to believe that the market's going to drop on April 16th.
There's been a lot of talk, discussions, reports on the Jade Helm. And you and I haven't spoke of it yet. But yesterday, 21 American and British paratroopers.
2,100, not 21.
Didn't I say 2,100?
No, you said 21.
More than 2,100 American and British paratroopers will jump into Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Yesterday it started a massive exercise that marks the next step forward in a unique relationship between Britain and the U.S., the two nations' airborne units. The combined joint operational access exercise is the largest U.S.-UK bilateral airborne training operation to take place on Fort Bragg in the last 20 years. It's going to feature the paratroopers from the 82nd Airborne, 2nd Brigade Combat Team, and about 900 paratroopers from the United Kingdom's 3rd Battalion, the Parachute Regiment, 16 Air Assault Brigade. You have Marines from the 2nd Marine Division will participate in exercise from nearby Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And they are all very excited about what's happening. From Colonel Joe Ryan, who currently has the Global Response Force mission. This means the unit is ready to deploy if needed to any contingency within 18 hours. It's an awesome responsibility at the same time as it is enjoyable to be here at this time. And he goes on and on and on. Now, we mentioned, you and I spoke before, Al, It goes on to talk about, certainly the greatest lesson learned is the appreciation that future battlefields are going to be multinational and combined in nature. Interoperability is not a nice to do, it is a must do. And I think that's very important when they talk about the future battlefields are going to be multinational and combined. And it kind of makes me wonder if they don't even have a war already planned.
Well, they're always planning for wars. I mean, that's what they do. They've got wars. They've got plans to invade Canada and plans to invade Mexico and Dominican Republic and Cuba and every other place on the face of the earth. They've got the plans out there. There are all sorts of nefarious forces that are encouraging us to go to war, sell more tanks, aircraft, might stimulate the economy, build more bombs. Build a better bomb and the world will build a path to your doorstep, Melody. But it's probably not. All this war, it can't be avoided on one level. But it shouldn't be encouraged on the other. I saw there was a book, a series, The Time Life. They were publishing these, something like encyclopedias back, maybe in the 1980s, I don't recall clearly, but they had one that was probably composed of a dozen, maybe 15 separate books, and it was entitled 20th Century, The Age of War. And the argument was that we had far more wars in the 20th century than we did in previous centuries. Why is that? And the answer is credit. All right? Couldn't have all those wars without easy credit. Fight now, pay later. That's essentially the military's motto and the government's motto under these circumstances. If you don't have credit, how do you fight a war? First, you have to tax your people excessively and create a war chest where you store up gold and silver and you've got it in your war chest to fund your invasion of Italy or France or England. You've got to have a war chest. That means a chest full of gold and silver. And the way you get that is you tax your people and you overtax them in order to have enough to invade somebody. And then we'll invade France and we'll steal their gold. Yay! All right, but you got to come up with that war chest before you have the invasion. And the problem with that is when you raise taxes on your own people, they start grumbling. And before you know it, you can't count on their allegiance. They're not going to really fight for you because you have been driving them into poverty with all your taxes to build up your war chest so you can go rob France. And as a result, war is a relatively rare thing when you have a monetary system based on gold and silver. But when we create a new and improved monetary system based on debt instruments, fiat dollars, paper and ink spun out of thin air, then we can go to war right now and we don't have to tax the people. We don't have to alienate them. We'll just leave the debt for the children and the grandchildren or whoever. Somebody will pay it sometime. So we can fight now without the obligation of rounding up the money. That means it's a lot easier to start these wars. All right? The people don't object as long as they're not being taxed to support the war. They don't care. A bunch of people, their sons aren't being drafted to go fight in some form. They don't care. If somebody volunteers to go get themselves killed in the war, too bad for you. Not our problem. Point I'm trying to make is when Time Life had 20th century, the century of war, words to the effect on there. It was a function of credit. That's what gets wars going. And it's reason to sit back and consider the possibility that maybe this world would be a better place if the governments of the world could not get credit. Couldn't get credit, we wouldn't have enough money to invade some other country, nor would they have enough money to invade us. But it's thanks to the credit that we can go on and meddle in everyone's affairs. We can be the world's policeman, even though it might be driving us ultimately into bankruptcy. So long as we can operate on credit, we're good to go. So point, I don't know. We have all these wars. But you can't avoid, miss, fail, or ignore the fact that there wouldn't be anywhere near as much war if it weren't for credit. Credit is essential. And if you don't want war, one of the things you're going to want to consider is going back to a monetary system based on gold and silver, not credit, not debt instruments, not paper spun out of thin air. Gold and silver dug out of the ground. Do that. Won't have as many wars. Might be a better world. What else, Melody?
Well, we're heading into break, but you made an important point before, is who are we fighting for?
No.
I mean, that's...
We're not fighting for this country. I mean, it's like they said, we're fighting because these people hate us for our freedoms. And thank a man in the military for fighting for our freedoms and protecting our freedoms. Which of my freedoms, name two, was ever threatened by Saddam Hussein in Iraq? I'm not here to defend Saddam. I'm not here to defend Iraq. But they never took any freedoms from me. The only people that take freedoms from me are our own government. All right? We don't have any foreign countries that are depriving us of our freedoms. Our and just sit back and say, oh, the military is fighting for our freedom. No, they're not. They're fighting for whatever special interests own, operate, and control the government of the United States. I'm Alfred Addis. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. We will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I'm not sure if Melody's back. You back?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's do this article on Christie to propose overhaul of Social Security benefits. This is from the Associated Press, framing himself as a politician who's unafraid to share hard truths with the American people. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is proposing an income cap on Social Security benefits as part of a major restructuring plan announced ahead of a likely presidential bid.
How does he think that's going to help him get elected?
I don't know.
You know.
He says this this is a hard truth. In fact, it's kind of a triviality. He's planning, he says that he'll propose phasing out Social Security payments for those making more than $80,000 a year. This is after they've retired, right? Senior citizens making over $80,000 a year, and completely eliminating benefits for those making $200,000 or more a year. Well, how many people are there who are taking Social Security right now who are making over $80,000 a year in other income? I don't know, but I don't believe the number is significant. How many people are taking Social Security who are still making 200 grand a year while they are retired, while they're senior citizens and retired? I don't think there's that many. And his proposal is he's going to cut out their Social Security. Oh, big deal.
Well, you know, here's something else, too, and this goes along the line with your point that you're going to get to, is they take away any initiative. And, you know, I'm not saying this is a huge initiative, but it's like, you know, why bother why go out and try to make more than 80 grand a year when I get penalized for it?
But the penalty is what, $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month?
But you add up all the other penalties, and it can be substantial, you know, with taxes. And, you know, why should I make more money? They just take more, and I work the same, you know, I work harder, and yet I make less. I hear that all the time. Melanie, yeah. I'm more busy now today than ever, and I'm making less money.
Well, that goes to my final conclusion when we get to this article, when I get finished with this article. Here's another one. It says, I'm suggesting that Americans pay into the system throughout the course of their life, knowing that it will be there if they need it to support them, so the senior citizens won't grow old in back-breaking poverty. But if you are fortunate enough not to need it, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans who need it most. Well, first, who among us knows that Social Security is going to be there to take care of you in your retirement? You know, a lot of people are hopeful, but a lot of people in this country don't believe it's going to be there. Certainly younger people, I think the probability of collecting Social Security is pretty close to zero. All right? Even older people, how much longer can you count on? He says, knowing that it'll be there if they need to support them. I don't know that anybody knows that. We hope that maybe, but we don't know it. But when he says, if you're fortunate enough not to need Social Security, you will have paid into a system that will continue to help Americans who need it most. And what he's arguing here, this is Chris Christie, a Republican. He's arguing from each according to their ability and to each according to their need. That's the fundamental principle of communism. It was probably first espoused by Karl Marx or maybe Vladimir Lenin. I don't know who started it. But that's the fundamental purpose of or principle in communism. It sounds like a great idea, but it never works out well because in the end, people claim that they have needs. And say, oh, my back hurts. Oh, my feet. I can't work. I can't work, see, but boy, I need a new TV, need a new Cadillac. It just doesn't work out. It's unfortunate, but that's the way people are. We tend, given the opportunity, as a species, we tend to be parasitical. We'll take whatever we can get, a lot of us. Not all of us, but a lot of us. And that's one of the reasons why communism fails. But my point is that here's Chris Christie, and he's advocating a communist idea. He goes on and he says, that's what we've always done for each other through private charity and good government. Well, maybe we've done it through charity, I'll give you that. We haven't always done this from those that are able to those who have the most need. We haven't done that through government. That philosophy is communistic. It's something that's a fairly recent phenomena in this country. Christie will also propose raising the retirement ages for Social Security and Medicaid eligibility and eliminating the payroll tax for seniors who stay in the workforce past age 62. I have no problem with eliminating the payroll tax, but I would be, how are you going to talk the government into removing any taxes on anyone?
They should remove property taxes.
Christie better be an extraordinary politician if he thinks he can talk them into reducing taxes. Raising the retirement age, yeah, you know, it's almost inevitable that's going to happen. But the reason, my point on this, I want to know what hard truth is Christie really responding to? That the rich don't need Social Security? Or that the government is going broke and can no longer afford to provide Social Security, or even the promise of Social Security? I suspect that the hard truth behind Christie's attempt to cut Social Security benefits is knowledge that the government's on the verge of insolvency and even bankruptcy. And when I say on the verge, I don't mean within months. It may be several years before things get so bad that somebody's got to admit they can't pay their debt. Not gonna say, I don't expect to see that happen, you know, in the next couple of months or whatever. But still, there are people in positions of power who understand the same thing that Melody and I do when we do this program. The debt is too great to be repaid. And it's inevitable they're going to have to admit that sooner or later. And when they do, those people who've trusted, who've loaned their money to the government and trust the government to return it, are going to find themselves taking a haircut, and maybe a devastating haircut. Here's another article that runs along the same line from the New York Times. And the headline is, States Tighten Conditions for Receiving Food Stamps as the Economy Improves. This study... they're making an adjustment that's being made by states that will strip food stamp benefits from millions of childless, able-bodied adults age 18 to 49. All right, they're going to start. This is multiple states. They talk about Maine in particular, but they're saying, look, we believe the economy has improved so much that we don't need to provide food stamps anymore, and we can get these single adults, they should just get out and get a job. They shouldn't be just working, living on food stamps anymore. All right? And their argument is that the economy has improved to that point where we can afford to reduce food stamps for some people, not for adults who have children and dependents, but if you're single, adult, male or female, they can cut you out of food stamps. It's not a big deal, but it's another one of those leaves in the breeze. Where they essentially are saying, they're arguing, because the economy's improved, we don't need to provide food stamps, you should be able to find a job. That's the argument, but is that the truth? Or is the real argument that the government recognizes that it has to start trimming entitlements? And the reason it has to start trimming entitlements is because it no longer has access to the same tax revenues that it's had in the past. It no longer has access to the easy credit that was formerly available to the government in the past. And as a result, the government is becoming stretched financially. And the day is going to come when they are perhaps insolvent, even bankrupt. And anticipating that day, they're saying, we got to start cutting these entitlements now, rather than just wait and do it all at once. We'll start whittling away at the entitlements now, and then maybe the people won't rise up and riot when we finally tell them, guess what? No more free lunches. So, from my perspective, the common denominator between the two stories is the idea that the government recognizes it can no longer dole out entitlements to the same degree it has in the past. And it's beginning to cut back. And it doesn't have any choice. And those of us who are living on these entitlements and expect, and, you know, the entitlements are will continue, those of us who, you know, were dependent on these entitlements, you're going to see that dependency challenged, compromised. At least that's my position on it. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I certainly believe it is also a sign that the states and the federal government can no longer provide these benefits, and they need to cut back, and they're doing so in small measures, so mm-hmm. as not so no one notices.
Yeah,
certainly don't want anyone to notice and become upset and saying that the governments are no longer feeding the people. But you know, we talk about all the time, you know, are there jobs out there? Certainly none that pay well. Have people become to the point, why should they get a job as long as everything is free?
A lot of people have. I won't say a lot, but a significant number of people say, yeah, we're entitled, just live. We don't need to work. There aren't decent jobs for a lot of people. They don't have decent jobs. They have a choice between going out and looking for a job that pays minimum wage, or they can just stay home and play video games and watch TV. What do you want to do? A lot of people are saying it's cool to stay home. You know, government will pay for it. Problem is, can we afford to keep doing that? The other problem is, given the growth of robots, for example, we're going to have increasing levels of unemployment in this country. Given the influx of illegal aliens, we're going to continue to see wages held low and plenty of illegal aliens to take, you know, the kinds of jobs that are menial, minimum. And where do other people who were born in this country, where do they find jobs? They're not just going to walk out and say, gee, I got fired. I used to be a janitor down at the grocery store, and they fired me, and now I'm going to get a job as a rocket scientist. No, you're not. You're not going to get a job as a rocket scientist or a doctor or, you know, a physician or whatever. You don't have the education. You don't have the intelligence for it. What are you going to do if you're being replaced either by a robot in a factory assembly line or perhaps an illegal alien in a regular job, in a menial job? What are you going to do? These are difficult questions, and they can't be ignored. We're going to have to decide. Maybe we do have to just figure out a way to tax the corporations or whoever in order to keep funding people who can't get a job. How are they going to support themselves? We've got to either supply them with food and shelter and the rest of that, or they're going to we're going to have more people taking to crime. They're going to want to survive. They're not just going to roll over and die. If they can't get any money from a job and they can't get any money from the government, then they're going to be looking to smack each of you folks on the head and lift your wallet.
How about corporate welfare?
Well, it's just the whole idea of subsidies that have gone to the rich and corporations, so that is, from my perspective, it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Just shouldn't be that way. I can understand that you got to have welfare or something to subsidize people who are poor, because the alternative is they either you leave them alone and they die in silence, or they take to crime, or somebody's got to kill them. You either got to help these people survive, or something extraordinary is going to happen in this country, and nobody's going to like it. But can we afford? How many people can we afford to feed who don't work? And what about the people who are working? We can sit back and say, well, we'll take all the money from the corporations. We'll take all the money from the rich and we'll use it to support the poor. Well, it's an interesting idea, but the truth is we're going to take the money from whatever remains of the middle class to support the poor. And what about the guy who's middle class and he has a wife of two kids that they'd like to support? And government is essentially saying, no, we can't worry about your kids. We're going to take your money to support these other people who don't work. I guarantee that kind of dichotomy is going to breed conflict and trouble. People are going to say, why should I be working to support these guys? And it's going to be perceived that they're too lazy to get a job. Why should I be paying higher taxes so these people who are too lazy, too unintelligent, too ignorant to get a job? I know they got a problem, but is it my problem? Those are the kinds of debates that we're going to see over the next few years, and they're not going to be easily resolved, and they may be that they can't be resolved painlessly and without violence. So, questions we'll have to ask for another day, because we are out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival and telling you something you already know. We live in interesting times, and they're going to get a lot more interesting. I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow when Melody and I will return. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye. All night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams,
need, always for me, hear the